worship, everyone. My name is Scott Kirshner. I'm the village pastor here at Holden. And we're going to be using the red hymnals, and there's also a half-sheet order of service. And so if you didn't get either of those, they are available by the burning candle near the entrance. If you look at the order of service, you'll notice in the right-hand column there, it lists song numbers. The songs are the big numbers on the top of the page, and those can be found in the back half of the hymnal. And then if you look a little further down the page, it lists page numbers, and those are the small numbers on the bottom of the page in the front of the hymnal. This is a communion service, and the first and most important thing to know about our communion practice here at Holden is that all are welcome to receive the sacrament. And we have three communion stations. You'll be directed by the ushers, but there will be one in front of the table and one on either side. You will receive the bread, and then the first chalice will have wine for drinking. If you would prefer to drink from an individual cup, you may take one of those. And the first pitcher will have wine, and the second will have grape juice. If you don't wish to receive communion, you are still welcome to come forward and receive a blessing and simply cross your arms in front of your chest, so indicate when you come forward. Also, if you have gluten allergies, simply indicate that to the person who is distributing the bread, and we'll make a gluten-free host available to you. Also, you will be happy to know that if you would like to review the theology of Holy Communion in the Lutheran tradition, you may find Luther's Small Catechism on page 1166 in the back of your hymnal. There will be an offering given, and 100% of our offerings are being given to Lutheran World Relief in their famine relief efforts in the Horn of Africa. This stole that I'm wearing has been made for Holden. It was made by many, many hands over the course of the different 50th anniversary celebrations for Holden Village of the past year. And so maybe you were one of those who helped contribute to this. I know that hands from ages 8 to 80 were part of it. And so it's kind of a symbol of Holden, the wide Holden community of which we are all a part. Our service will begin with the water procession, remembering baptism. We will sit during the water procession so that all can see. We will be singing verses 1 to 4 of hymn 214, and the congregation is welcome to sing the refrain while the choir carries us on the verses. Please stand and face the baptismal font. The order of confession and forgiveness is found on the back side of your order of service.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the creator of wind and rain, mountain and river, including the waters of our own Railroad Creek watershed, the bread of life coming down from above, the power at work within us and this world. Blessed be you, which we are baptized into Christ. Amen. Amen. Before God and in the company of our brothers and sisters, let us confess our sin. God of all, we confess we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have been judgmental toward others to avoid looking at ourselves. We have told lies, said hurtful things, acted in ways in which we could take back, and looked the other way when action was needed. In your mercy, O God, forgive us and heal us for the sake of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. In Christ, you are a new creation. Your sins are taken away, and you are made new. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Gracious God, you have placed within the hearts of all your children a longing for your word and a hunger for your truth. Grant that we may know your Son to be the true bread of heaven and share this bread with the whole world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from 2 Kings. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing food from the first fruits to Elijah, the man of God. 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them. They ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Tonight's psalmody comes from Psalm 145, verses 10 through 18. The refrain is found on the back of your order of service. We'll play it once through, and you're welcome to join in on the repeat.
From Ephesians. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through God's Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to the one who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
According to John, the sixth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jewish people, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus said this to test Philip, for he knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a child here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up. From the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that Jesus had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and started across the Sea of Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But Jesus said to them, "I am. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Please pray with me. Living One, feed us this night with your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and our minds be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Unless you took the float plane or hiked over Cloudy Pass or Spider Gap, you came to Holden on the Lady of the Lake.
Not long after the boat leaves Fields Point, the captain begins, over the loudspeaker, to talk about the extraordinary dimensions of Lake Chelan. You may have heard them enough times to know them by heart. That lake is 55 miles long and almost 1,500 feet deep, we learn. If you measured from the deepest point in the lake to the highest surrounding peaks, it would be the deepest gorge in North America. Deeper than the Grand Canyon. Farther below sea level than Death Valley. So much water is there in that lake that it could cover the entire state of Washington with how many inches of water?
4.
And if, say you were trying to read the letter to the Ephesians as this announcement was being broadcast over the Lady of the Lake, as I was doing a week ago, you would notice an unexpected similarity of theme between these announcements and this ancient letter. Both are preoccupied with extraordinary dimensions. Paul writes, "I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." The love of Christ, as it's here presented, is a geography, an architecture to be explored and known, and most importantly, to be inhabited. And like that Lady of the Lake announcer orienting us to Lake Chelan, this letter to the Ephesians is introducing us to a geography whose dimensions test the very limits of imagination and knowledge. What does it mean to practice resurrection? This is a question that we took up last week. And it's a question that Ephesians is not done with. And so, neither are we. At the heart of this question is Ephesians' central message, which is that the death and resurrection of Christ, that in the death and resurrection of Christ, we become a new humanity in which the ancient divisions and hostilities are overcome and we are united in one spirit in God. It's a very big claim. These are big ideas. But what, I wonder, could be more relevant? I read an article this week by Bill McKibben in Rolling Stone magazine about global climate change. It's an article that's gone viral quickly, and I encourage you to read it. The unspoken subtext of the article, really, is that our inability to respond thus far meaningfully as a human community to the threat of global climate change is because some lives are valued less than other lives. The immediate and calamitous threat, indeed impact, currently, that climate change is posing to the world's poor has, as yet, not been enough to affect change. None of this should be particularly surprising, really, because it's another example that today's problems are part of the same pickle that we human beings have been in since time immemorial. But Ephesians' message of unity, of human unity, could not be more of the moment. And so it's for this gospel of human unity in Christ that Paul finds himself in prison, a threat to the empire. And it's for this cause that he prays in the beginning of our reading today. For this cause, I bow my knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. There's a pun here that's lost in the translation, but the word father and family are related words, and they rhyme. All human beings are one, the point is, in God. One community, one human family. And so begins a prayer for us, the readers of the letter, a prayer that this message would actually take root in our lives, come what may. Part of the practicing of resurrection here is being able to name every human being as a fellow heir of God's grace. Personally, if I spend any amount of time with this idea, two things happen to me. One is I realize that it is a beautiful and powerful idea, perhaps the most beautiful of all ideas. Number two, I realize that my heart is so full of thorns and thistles that I can barely imagine what this would even mean to live out. Love every human being as a fellow family member. I can barely make it through the buffet line without murdering someone in my heart. I'm a mess. If I'm going to practice resurrection, I need to rise from the dead. And Paul knows this, which is why, after he lays all this on us, he's immediately praying for us. I pray, he writes, according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. It's at this point, having laid down the imperatives of loving every human being, and the prayer that this love would actually take root in our hearts, that we arrive at the verse with which we began. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ? What does this mean? The dimensions, I suspect, of this love are for our discovering as we live together in light of this gospel. It's a bit like this valley. We don't know the breadth and length and height and depth of Railroad Creek Valley until we live our way into it, until we get around, until we've hiked the hikes and pondered the vistas and smelled the pines and nursed the blisters and picked the morels and forded the creeks and swatted the mosquitoes. The burn area from the Domke fire in 2007, the tailings piles with their noxious runoff, and the virgin Douglas fir stands are all part of this valley. And discovering the breadth and length and height and depth of it all means journeying through all of it. I believe that the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ is like that. It is discovered in its fullness in the living. What more do we learn from Ephesians about practicing resurrection? This love of Christ, love of God in Christ, is a wide place, wider than I can imagine or understand. As wide as every human family. As wide as the wide horizon of creation itself. And to me, all this is thrilling to hear and to read. But it's also very sobering because my heart is not wide. I know that about myself. And I take great comfort and hope in Paul's prayer that resurrection life will take root. That God would strengthen us in our inner being with power through the Spirit, and that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith as we are rooted and grounded in love. What will it mean to be rooted and grounded in this resurrection love? What will it mean for you today? What will it mean when you head back down the valley? What will it mean for Holden Village on the cusp of mine remediation years? I don't imagine we know, but we can have great hope that to our everlasting surprise, we will discover again and again and as if for the first time, the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ who has risen for you, that you too rise. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Tonight, as we pray together, you will be guided to contemplate and lift up the prayers on your hearts, either in silence or aloud. After each prayer, we will sing our response, which is song number 752 in your hymnal. Let us pray. Gracious God, how tenderly and patiently your wondrous gift is given. As we gather this night, help us to pray and yearn expectantly to receive the gifts we need, so that we may become the gifts others need. We offer now our prayers and yearnings for the church. We pray for peace, justice, liberation, and safety for people and places torn by division, hostility, warfare, or poverty. We pray for the sick and those grieving loss and change, for those living with stress, fear, anxiety, addiction, and abuse. And we pray for creation, for the land, water, air, plants, and animals.
Lord, listen to your children pray.
Receive these, our hopes and prayers, gracious God, and send us forth empowered and emboldened to live out in the world what we pray and profess, trusting in your love through Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of that peace with one another.
stand. As the gifts are brought forward, we sing hymn number 479.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
At this time, I invite the young children to come up and gather around the table. It's important that you can see, and it's much easier when you come up close. You can come around the side if you'd like. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory and great love.
You sent to us, Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Amen. Gathered in the Spirit, we are bold to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, holy things for holy people. Come, all is ready.
Please stand. Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Go in peace, be the resurrection.
Thanks be to God.